Leadership Day. We are so happy that you're here on this sponsorship day. My name is Robin. I'm a compulsive overeater and your moderator for the day. Jenny's going to screen share the Serenity Prayer, but I'll ask everyone to please stay muted and we'll do the Serenity Prayer together. Ready? God, grant me the serenity, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Thank you. Sponsorship Day is celebrated by overeaters all around the world, which I did not know. It is a way to recognize this very important tool of recovery. And we know that this is a WE program, and together we can do what we could never do alone. And sponsors are definitely an integral part of our recovery journey. I'd like to share a piece with you from our OA brochure, A Guide for Sponsors, on what is a sponsor. As stated in Tradition 5, carrying the message of recovery is OA's primary purpose. A sponsor is an OA member who shares this message and her or his own program of recovery on an ongoing basis with another member, often called the sponsee. Sponsors are OA members. Who are living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. They are willing to share their recovery with other members of the fellowship and are committed to abstinence. We ask a sponsor to help us through our program of recovery. By working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own program of recovery. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Styles of sponsorship vary from person to person. We are each free to approach it in our own way. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask that person how he or she is achieving it. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. Today, we will hear from six different OA fellows who will be sharing, again, their experience, strength, and hope. Three will be speaking about different aspects of being a sponsor, and three will share their experiences as a sponsee. Just a few notes. One, we will have some handouts from World Service via links available in the chat. They're also available at our website, njioa.org, and if they're not up right now, they will be up, and oa.org, both under sponsorship. Between our two sets of speakers, we will take a seventh tradition break, and we ask that you please remain muted until the Q&A time and your raised hand is recognized. Please turn your camera off if you do need to leave or if you think there might be any distractions to your fellows. And most importantly, in honoring our tradition of anonymity, please be sure that only you are able to see or hear the speakers today. Thank you very much. Each of our sponsor speakers will have 13 minutes to share. After the three speakers have finished, the floor will be open to questions. Simca has gratefully volunteered to be our timekeeper. Thank you, Simca. All right, our first speaker this afternoon is Tony Ann. Tony Ann, how would you like to be timed?
It's 13 minutes, right? You can let me know when I have a 3-minute warning, okay?
You got it.
Thank you, Simca. Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to Sponsorship Day. My name is Tony Ann A, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic, and so happy to be here with all of you sharing this time and talking about sponsorship. I want to start off by reading something for you, and it comes out of page 60 in the AA Big Book. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So I've been asked today to speak about what I get out of being a sponsor. What do I get out of sponsorship and why do I sponsor? So I decided that I was gonna make a little list for my outline, and I think I'm gonna just read you the list first. There's 4 points on this list that I thought I would talk about. Number one is it keeps me abstinent being a sponsor. Number two, a sponsor-sponsee relationship builds intimacy in my life and prevents isolation. Number three, being a sponsor keeps me firmly rooted in recovery and the big book and those recovery actions. And number four, being a sponsor helps me to recreate my own spiritual experience. And so let me just elaborate a little bit on each one of those points. First of all, keeps me abstinent. I cannot give away what I do not have. And it says in the big book that I need to be armed with the facts about myself. And so in order to, it's like when that oxygen on the airplane, I have to take it myself. In order to be an effective sponsor, I need to make sure that I am actually working a program of action, and that the program of action that I'm working it's a measurable thing that I can see my growth, I can see my progression in my recovery. So that's an important thing that I want my sponsees to be able to see what it is that I'm doing, so that they know that I'm not just talking this talk, but I'm literally walking this walk with my sponsees. So that's a really important thing to do. So first thing that I need to do is I need to remain abstinent. And I also need to be working the steps on a regular basis. And so I have to be doing my own work with my own sponsor, and I need to be advancing my own spiritual experience. And that brings me to page 12 in the AA Big Book. On the bottom, it's page 14 on the AA Big Book. On the bottom, Bill Wilson himself says, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead," he said, "and how appallingly true for the alcoholic." Now, this is the important part. He says, "For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he would not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that." Throughout the big book, it talks about different reasons why I should sponsor. The next reason that I had talked about was the intimacy, and it prevents the isolation. I don't know about you, but isolation is a big part of my disease. And I tend to want to just go into myself. And when I was in the food, I very much wanted to be alone with my food. Now today it's not the food, but sometimes I want to be alone with my own thoughts, you know, with my own negative thinking. And working with sponsees helps me to get out of myself. It gets me out of my own self-centeredness, out of my own head, and helps me to feel that usefulness when I'm working with others. As a matter of fact, one of the promises is that feeling of usefulness will slip away. And I do believe that when I get to step 12, becoming a sponsor is when I start to be experiencing all of those promises that are talked about in step 10 and step 11. And there's even a step 12 promise, which I'm going to share with you. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, that's that isolation, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know that you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is a bright spot in our lives. I also do have frequent contact with newcomers. Many of you may recognize me from newcomer meetings where you might have seen me. And I might even, for some of you, have been the very first person that you had an experience if you had called a newcomer meeting and you might have gotten me on the line. And that's a very important part of my program, is working with newcomers and working with sponsees, working with others. It keeps me grounded, which is my next point, keeps me firmly rooted and grounded in recovery actions. So when I'm working with a sponsee, I work with people differently depending upon where they're at. If I'm working with a newcomer, a lot of my focus with a newcomer is helping them to get abstinent and helping them to get through the steps, to stay abstinent so we get through the steps. My job as a sponsor, and this is very important, is to help somebody to connect with that power greater than themselves that will solve their problem. Now, I am not the thing that's going to solve their problem, but this power that they're going to have access to is what is going to solve the problem. My job as a sponsor is to help people to find that connection with that power, whatever it's going to look like for them. And I don't know all the answers, because this is a program that you have to experience. It's not something that I can intellectualize or I can give people the answers to. Everybody has their own answers that they find on their own with their own higher power through their own experiences. All I can do as a sponsor is share my experiences and share my strengths on what I've done that's gone through those experiences that had helped me to work towards a stronger recovery and a stronger relationship with that power that, for me, really is able to solve all of my problems and keeps me feeling safe and protected. So that's my job as a sponsor. Now, in the beginning, we talk a lot about food, about getting through experiences, abstinence, and things like that, because that's really an important focus. But as I begin to work with people over a length of time and they've had their own spiritual experience, the shift kind of changes and it becomes more about like helping them to work with others, helping them to like get to that next level in their own recovery. So by continuing to work with people, well, I work with everybody in the big book, whether you're a newcomer or you've been around for a while, we go through the steps and in the big book. And as I do this again and again and again, guess what happens? I actually become more and more familiar with the big book. And so by default, I have a lot of parts in the big book are automatically like memorized in my mind, not because I'm such a great study, because when I do something over and over and over again, then it becomes rooted into my brain. And that's how I'm able to learn things. I don't know about you, but I could be a slow learner. So I can tell you that I've probably read the doctor's opinion with people more than 50 times. And so after reading it 50 times, I can probably recite it if I needed to, you know, but that only is because I do it again and again and again. And that's the way that I have to learn. So what I heard is the only permanence that nature has to offer is repetition. And that repetition of working with people through the big book keeps it fresh in my mind. And it reminds me again and again that I'm working this program of recovery and how it changes my life and how it gives me a beautiful life. And then that brings me to the next point, what I'm going to talk about, helping me to recreate my own spiritual experience. Experiences are fleeting. I think everybody would agree, right? We have experiences and then they go away and we have new experiences. So how is it that I have a spiritual experience and make that a permanent thing like I had just mentioned? Well, that happens by doing this work over and over again. And my spiritual experience is now contingent upon you having your spiritual experience. And so that's how it kind of all works together. They're like sparks and that's how it's transmitted. And so when I'm seeing these people that I'm working with, like really being lifted up and put on a road that really goes somewhere, that is so uplifting to me. And I can tell you that I literally get to experience utopia, working with other people and seeing them like, you know, when you have like those God moments with a sponsee and you just see like something works out and you're like, wow, that's incredible. As a sponsor, I get to have these experiences with people again and again and again. And it's like proof. You know, we come into here and in step two, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. But as a sponsor, I literally get the proof of that because I see it working with people again and again. I see them going places. I see the job opportunities coming. I see people going back to school. I see people finding those relationships that are satisfying and fulfilling in their lives. And I see this happening again and again and again, working with others. And that to me is just such an amazing part and probably like the one of the most things that I'm grateful for in recovery is that experience. And that's knowing that this program works. And why is it that I know that this program works? And when a newcomer rings the doorbell, I can open up the door and say, this program works. You know why? Because I see it working, because I work with others. And I see all of these people doing amazing things with the grace of their higher power and the 12 steps and a fellowship. And so it's just such an honor. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be able to be here, to have that experience. And as the big book says, it is an experience that you do not want to miss. Please don't let any prejudice that you have in your mind about being a sponsor stop you from doing it. You don't have to have a lot of experience. You don't have to. The experience comes from doing it again and again, just like I described. That's okay. Everybody sponsors up to the level of their own experience, and each of our own experiences is useful, even if it's that you have one day of abstinence to a newcomer that's on day zero. That is a useful experience. So I'm going to read to you something from Dr. Bob's story, Dr. Bob's nightmare. It's on page 181. Dr. Bob says, I spent a great deal of time passing on what I learned to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. So these are his four reasons. Number one, it's a sense of duty. Number two, it is a pleasure. Number three, because in doing so, I am paying my debt to the man who took the time to pass it on to me. And number four, because every time I do it, I take a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. And so I'm just going to leave this last minute with a story. A lot of you may have heard this story before, but there may be somebody that hasn't before. Bill Wilson was very frustrated. I believe it was after months of working, trying to help other people to get sober. He was going down to the Bowery, and I understand pulling people practically off bar stools and trying to get them sober. And he was having a lot of problems. It wasn't working. He wasn't able to really get anybody to become sober in this way. And so he was talking to his wife, Lois, about it. And he said, Lois, I just don't know. It doesn't seem to be working. I can't get anybody sober. And Lois says to him, that's not true, Bill. This is working. Whatever it is that you're doing, it's keeping you sober. And so one of the best reasons why I sponsor is so that I can keep myself abstinent and in recovery. And I think I'm going to leave a little bit of time on the clock. Anyway, that's 29 seconds. And thank you all for being here today. Thank you for Robin and for Judy and for everybody for putting this beautiful workshop together. Happy sponsorship day, everybody, that I pass.
Thank you, Tony. And that was incredible. We really appreciate your service. Okay. Awesome. I told you something for everybody today. Our second speaker this afternoon is going to be Brenda. And Brenda, how would you like your time? How would you like to be timed?
The same way. Let me know when there's 3 minutes left, please.
Okay. All right. Simca's on it.
Okay. Brenda, food addict, always a food addict. I am very grateful to be here with all of you today. And I always get butterflies in my stomach when I get to share my experience, strengths, and hope. And I've been in program since 2001. I have had 3 relapses, and this abstinence is 10 years, but who is counting? I just have to give up today. And it is by the grace of God that I'm abstinent today on the God's guidance and direction and sponsoring others. I have a sponsor, and I have a group of sponsees, and my sponsees have a sponsees, and I'm passing it on, and I never thought that that would be possible. My first sponsor taught me when I was 90 days back in 2001, you're a sponsor now and you have to take us. Oh, how am I gonna do that? And she said to me, it's simple. You're gonna take their food, the gratitude, and their writing. And I said, the writing? And she said, well, we have questions. Just assign the first 90 days writings. I mean, if they ask you a question that you don't know, you'll say, I'll get back to you with that answer, you know, because I don't have to know it all, you know. And through the years, as previously mentioned, I have got more experience on the big book, more experience in the program. And how do you sponsor different people, newcomer, relapses, and old timers? I would say with God and the same way. My motto is patience, tolerance, kindness, and forgiveness, no matter what. I need to sponsor with my heart, not with my head. I need to get out of my head, because in my head, there's a lot of negativity. So I sponsor with the love in my heart, my gratitude in my heart. Every sponsee for me is a gift from God. And it's pretty amazing how my sponsees come to me to deliver a message. You know, I'm able to see today that they come to heal a part of me. And as I'm giving the program away, there's a part of me that is healing. I must remember when I started sponsoring the first tradition, you know, I need to take care of myself first. You know, in order, I have to put my oxygen mask, and I have to be spiritually fit. I need to pray in the morning on awakening, as is stated on page 86, and then be able to give it away. Because like I said, I do it with the heart. All I have to do is share my experience, strengths, and hope. I remember always Dr. Bill being in the hotel and having that desire to drink. And he picked up that phone and he makes that call. Dr. Bob wasn't willing to meet with him, but he gave him a couple minutes, you know. And Bill goes with all humility and tells him, I'm here for myself. I need to tell you my story in order to be recovered. So I always remember that when I'm sponsoring. One of the things that I ask my sponsees from the start, whether it's a newcomer, whether it's an old timer, whether it's a relapser, what are you willing to do? And that comes from the chapter Working with Others. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go to any length? And then the second thing that I say is we must set aside our opinions, our prejudice, our knowledge, not to sabotage recovery. Because my mind, you know, as you did in the past, it will tell me, oh, you're always gonna be fat. What is the sense of working this program? You can start on Monday. You know, I need to set my mind aside to be able to recover. I always think that as a food addict, we've been through hell. Because it's not easy to live in food addiction, compulsively eating, whether it's anorexia, whether it's because I've been at both sides, it's not easy. I feel that we've been through hell. And I remember always the traditions and our concept, you know, I will never make one of my sponsors feel repulsed or unwanted or unloved. I am very gentle, I'm very loving, but when I have to put my sponsor hat, I tell them, because I care, because I love you, and because I'm your sponsor, I need to put my sponsor hat and I need to address this. Because when I did that, and it's always with my examples, when I do that, this is what I found. And being that I relapsed 3 times, I know how I got there. You know, so it's like I'm able to warn it, to give them the warning when I see anything. When it comes to the food plan is the solution to the problem. So therefore, when my sponsees come with a food plan, you know, since I work the HAL program, it's no sugar, no wheat, no flour. You know, if they're working with a nutritionist, or with some people are hypoglycemic or they have a special needs, you know, I don't get involved on that. But as long as they don't have no sugar, no wheat, no flour, they can work the and they make their meals and they give me a copy of their food plan, you know, so I'm able to know what I'm working with. My main objective is to take people through the steps, you know. If my experience every time that I had a relapse, I went through the steps again, and that's what I do with my sponsees. I offer them my experience of working the steps according to the first 164 pages of the big book. I start them on the big book from the first page. Sometimes not everybody can read and write. And we all have different backgrounds, different needs, different levels of, you know, like I love to write, but there's people that don't like to write. Sometimes I read with my sponsees and we start with writing 3 words. And to my surprise, it elaborates. It just God takes over. And then all of a sudden they do 1 sentence, 2 sentences, and they're doing a paragraph. The other way that I practice patient tolerance and kindness sometimes when a newcomer comes to me, you know, as an addict, I'm very undisciplined. You know, I don't like rules. I don't like obedience. But then no one can gain the confidence of another food addict like another food addict. So, and I share my plan with my sponsees. I tell them that I'm working this program with them. You know, Once in a while, I have sponsees that try to manipulate me, which is one of our good talents, where we manipulate for what we want. And I'm able to say that that didn't work for me in the past. And then I am able to make suggestions in a kind way, you know. Another strong point that I'm going to say is, here the sponsor is God. I'm just another body working the program. You know, I encourage my sponsees to find a higher power, to define it, and to use the higher power, you know, to do the prayers, to do the meditation. And when a sponsee comes with a lot of drama, a lot of problems, a lot of, just like I came, I mean, I was complaining, and, you know, and I give them a little taste of an inventory, and I start getting them used to how to process a situation and what is it that they want and how do that affect them and what is the character defect. For by the time they get to the fourth step, they're so willing to do a fourth step, and they're not scared because they already been telling me their situation, and they know how I handle it. I am nutted. I sponsor in the morning. I assign like 15 minutes to each sponsee. And I encourage my sponsees to be honest, open-minded, and willing, and to ask any questions that they have in the mind. And if they have a problem with food or anything, I prefer honesty. I'm not a person that penalizes my sponsees for having a problem. We learn from each of our situations, you know, whatever we encounter is a learning experience. For me, those are messages for us to learn.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. It tells you in the book that not everyone have been able to adhere to the principles and find up abstinent. You know, it's not easy to surrender the program. I encourage my sponsees that they're in relapse and they cannot get in relapse to pray, because that's what I was told to do. And sometimes I have sponsees that they're in relapse and I'm praying with them, and then all of a sudden they become willing and they surrender. I pray for all my sponsees. And even with the people that come to me and ask me to be a sponsor, and they say, no sugar, no wheat, no flour. And they say, no way. I said, I encourage them to just try it for one day. I have people that just try it for one meal, and then they do a second meal and a third meal. And all of a sudden they work in the health program. You know, I never turn anybody away right away. I give them time to find the program. And the most important thing is helping them to find a higher power. You know, God stands for good orderly direction. And that's how I started the program. And the people, the fellowship was my God with skin at the beginning, until I was able to start working the steps. And the steps are simple. You know, as an addict, I can complicate it. That's why I have to stay in the heart. Sometimes I open that page 59 and I take somebody through a quick run of the steps. And let me tell you, it have worked in any situation that I might have. And I'm grateful. You know, sometimes my sponsees try to challenge me and take shortcuts. And I said, I need to stay honest with the program that I work. This is what we do. And, you know, if they're not honest, they eventually go away by themselves, because I need to stay within the guidelines of the program when I'm sponsoring. I am very grateful to be with you all here. And hello? I'm very grateful to be here and sharing some of my experience, friends, and hope. I hope that that helps someone. And, you know, together we can do, I mean, I'm not it. I'm very grateful that I was able to share with all of you today. Thank you.
Wow, 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 wow. Thank you, Brenda. Oh my gosh, I'm taking notes like crazy. Really great. Thank you for your incredible share. Okay. And our third sponsor speaker is Mark S. Mark, how would you like to be timed?
3 minutes is fine. Thank you, Robin.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My name is Mark. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for having me today, Robin, and thank you for asking. I thought I'd spend 2 minutes and I was asked to speak on the detailed mechanics of how I sponsor step work, assignments, readings, writings, food, et cetera. But I asked the sponsees, and I thought I'd spend just a minute or two to talk about how I came to be a big book step sponsor, which is how I take people through the work, as we call it. And I was blessed to have two gifts of desperation. The first gift of desperation came in May 2007, when I came into an OA meeting as the last house on the block. Desperate, crawled in, went to 9 meetings a week, had a food plan, had a tremendous amount of identification, lost an enormous amount of weight, and did that for 3 years. I was like the passenger on the shipwreck on page 30, and there is a solution. You know, I was sharing in a common peril, which was really helpful. And that's powerful cement, it says, as I recall, but it's not enough. It's not enough. So after 3 years, I was feeling progressively worse and worse because I was feeling more and more, more resentment, more fear, more anger. And I had the second gift of desperation. Because I had no way to deal with those feelings because I wasn't anesthetizing myself with huge quantities of sugar. So I heard this guy speak, who was a bottom-level compulsive overeater like me, who said that he had recovered, emphasized he hadn't been cured, and he was happily abstinent, which was astonishing to me, and that he had a design for living and a relationship with a higher power that was produced as the result of doing this work. So I asked him to be my sponsor, and he asked me to tell me my story, and in particular, you know, how I implemented my decision, because I proudly told him I turned my will and my life over to the care of God. And he said, by the way, don't ever tell me again that you went to 9 meetings a week and you had a food plan. Tell me exactly what you did to transform your thinking. And other than thinking about, well, I did some prayer and meditation, I was a deer in the headlights. So he promptly told me exactly what I needed to hear, which is that for 3 years, I was on a diet with a wonderful group of people. He asked me what I didn't understand about the words next and at once. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, turn to the bottom of page 63, which I must have read 5 or 6 big books marked up, pages loose, where it says, and he always encouraged me to put it in the first person. Next, I launched out on a vigorous course of action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which I had never attempted, though my decision, step 3, was vital and crucial. It would have little, could have little permanent effect, that's for sure, unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things which was blocking me from God. And then he told me that I was choosing to commit psychological torture one day at a time. And, you know, in effect, I was one of the three frogs sitting on the log in the lake, making a decision to jump in, and never implemented that decision. So, you know, he did some continued vetting, as he's supposed to do, according to the 12th step. Like, did I have anything else that I wanted to try? Was I willing to follow some directions? You know, he said, this is not an a la carte menu. You do not take what you want and leave the rest. There really are musts in this book, and I'll show you where they all are. And it's not going to be OA light. And like the old John Updike book from way back in the day, this is not OA according to Mark. And could I start with 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day? And sure, I could do that. And that was important to me, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And he told me to turn to page 58, what we sometimes call step 0, and he asked me 2 questions. Did I want what he had? And was I willing to go to any lengths to get it? And I sure was, because, you know, I was desperate. So, you know, what I do with sponsees comes from my experience on how I was taken through this program of action. And the degree of contacts, the specifics, really depends upon where we are in the process of working the steps. You know, when I'm working with someone in step four who's writing three inventories, it's a pretty intensive involvement. For a newcomer, it's awfully overwhelming. So it's 15 or 20 minutes a day. And, you know, like was shared, you know, initially there's attention paid to the food plan. You know, working out a food plan, working out red light foods, trigger foods, how the food commitment is going to work, you know, texting changes to the food plan. And, you know, I encourage the person to go to meetings, of course. You know, I never had an excuse for not going to a meeting or meetings all over, and especially today with Zoom meetings. So I encourage the person to go to meetings, the sponsee, to give service, even if it's that, even if it's opening a meeting, if it's an in-person meeting like we have in New Providence, which is also Zoom, if it's reading the 12 steps online or the 12 traditions, just to get involved. But the focus is the 12 steps. And what we do is down in the weeds is we basically take one step at a time. Step four, which is divided into three parts. And like was shared, you know, we started the preface. So the person, I send the person an email, the sponsee an email with specific directions for that specific meeting, for that specific step, pardon me. It might be something like circle these words in the doctor's opinion. You know, sort of fun thing. See if you can find the cycle of compulsive overeating in the doctor's opinion. And then, you know, underline what you identify, make a note what you don't understand. And then I have the sponsee listen to a podcast or a speaker to reinforce that. And then we get together, often in person, sometimes by Zoom or on the phone. And we talk about that for about an hour. And we do that through chapter three, more about alcohol, through the third step. Because I was taught that the first three steps are decisions. Big Book doesn't have any directions in the first three steps. So after we've done the reading, podcast, speaker, getting together for an hour after step one, I asked the sponsee the step one question, which appears on page 30. Now, ditto with step two, right? Which is a decision about, you know, do you believe or are you willing to believe, from page 47. And the same thing with step three, are you ready to make a decision to turn your will and your life over? And we say the step three prayer together. And then we do what I didn't do, because I didn't know, I had no idea that this book contained clear cut, precise directions. And that's having read it, I kid you not, many times, pages falling out, different color highlights, post-its of different colors. You know, as was shared, I could quote the thing. You know, it's like, it occurred to me, it's like, you know, I read the manual on how to fly a plane. You know, who's ready to meet me at Teterboro Airport? You know, I've never flown a plane. You know, I don't think so. So, you know, we then start to write and have the sponsee write an inventory. So that's where our writing tool comes in. That's the writing that I use, right? And I didn't know that you write down three columns. I didn't know that you read in step four, where it describes the person, the cause, and what it affects, that you read those columns down when you're reading. So, you know, there's a lot of detail paid, a lot of time spent, interaction on exactly how to do that, right? You know, there's some handouts, some prompt sheets that were given to me that are very helpful in terms of people, whether it's listing family members and school teachers and friends and roommates and branching out, you know, into the world. And when it comes time to write the turnarounds, because there is no fourth column in the big book, right? There is no fourth column. Those are the turnarounds. What I had a part in every one of these resentments, right? So where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, right? So before we do that, we pay attention in the big book to, we layer on. Now remember, the involvement is getting more. It's like a bell curve. So we start to talk about forgiveness, right? Because before I could look at my part in my resentments, which were about 18 to 20 against my father, who was number one on my list, I could not write where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, because I was so angry for decades.
3 minutes.
Thank you. So we talk about forgiveness and how to forgive somebody, and the sick man prayer from page 67 and the forgiveness prayer from page 552. And we move on to the next person and so on. So we do that process. Oh, and then importantly at that point, I had 80 pages in my resentment inventory, and my sponsor said, put out your arms. And he put the 80 pages on my arms, and he said, how many of these inventories do you want to write? And I said, I don't ever want to write another one. And he said, well, turn to page 84 to 88 so we can keep current when resentment comes up. And he showed me what to do and how to do it so that I didn't have to write another 80-page resentment inventory. And so it went. And, you know, we had a long talk. It usually is 2 or 3 long talks about step 5, right? So that engagement is pretty intensified at this pace, at this point. And the same thing with, you know, comes to be step 8 and 9, the 8 list. I have the sponsees, the 8 list comes right out of the step 4 inventory. We review it closely to make sure it's not about repairing a relationship, right? That there's a harm that needs to be amended, for which an amends needs to make. We make sure that making this amends is not going to injure that person or injure somebody else. What happened with me and what happens with every sponsee I've worked with, we group those amends into 3 actual piles of index cards. Those I'm willing to make amends to now, those I might be willing to make amends in a little while, and what I call the NFW amends. No effing way am I making an amends to this person. And sure enough, you know, we become willing. I've got a sponsee now who's in his 9th step amends, who I know would never have made amends that he's now ready to make.
Huh?
So that process continues. I'll say in conclusion.
It should, yeah. 1 and 2.
That no sponsee has ever said, I wish I didn't do this work. And as my sponsee prophesies for me, it's impossible to do this work thoroughly and not to have a spiritual awakening. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sponsors. Those were absolutely amazing shares. I'm so glad this is recorded because I couldn't write fast enough. Thank you. All right. We are going to have a Q&A time right now, question and answer time. It'll be a 2-minute time limit for people making, you know, having a share or asking a question. And Simca, again, will continue to do. So I'll ask you to raise your virtual hand if possible, and I'll call on our hand raisers in the order that I can see. Let's see. Okay, let me see how to do this. Let's see. Okay, timeout. Okay. All righty. Okay, let me see if I can. Usually they come up. Oh, here we go. Sorry, 1 sec. Okay. Okay. All right. Renee, go ahead. 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Renee, a grateful compulsive overeater. I just wanted to say to Tony, Ann, Brenda, and Mark, those were fantastic testimonies. I am a sponsor. I have a sponsor. I've worked this program for a long time. And of course, when I came in 35 years ago, I was completely selfish and self-centered. I came in here to lose weight. I didn't come in here to find a spiritual way of living. And I have just hung in here for 35 years. And I don't have perfect abstinence. I have about 15 years of abstinence right now. But the point was that I had to be willing to grow along spiritual lines. Just like the big book says, when I came in here, I was willing to do steps 1 and 2, skip over 3, let's do 4, 5, six, seven, eight, nine. No, I don't want to do, I'm willing to do 10, don't want to do 11. Yeah, I thought I could do this without God because I was mad at God for taking my brother's life. But it does not work without God. Other people do it without a strict belief like mine personally, but I also love the fact that this program doesn't tell me that I have to believe anything except that I can't, God can, however you perceive that higher power, and that if I want to recover, this is a strict, it says we are not the only answer. We don't claim to have a monopoly on the answer. For me, they do. They have a monopoly on the answer. I have to do it as written, and I do it every day with my sponsees, with my sponsor. I don't graduate from needing a sponsor just because I'm sponsoring other people. And it is about learning to accept life on life's terms. And as the big book says, it's about what I'm putting in, not what I'm taking out. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to share?
Excuse me one second. Tony Ann, can you shut off the recording, please?